Okay, we're starting here, nine lines down. I'm in Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara is continuing with the Mishnah, which said, Zeachlal, this is the principle that derives from the Mishnah, Kol Shomi Dagan. Anything that has, Dagan has grains in it is problematic. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, V'chiyam Achar Shaninu Kol Shomi Dagan, once the Mishnah gives you that principle, Harizeh Over B'Pesach, that's a violation on Pesach, Lamo Manu Chachamim Et Eilu, then why do we have the extensive list at the beginning of the Mishnah? The Mishnah goes through a list of items, and then all of a sudden it gives you a general principle. If those items are already incorporated by the general principle, why do you need those items to be enumerated? It says, Kadei Shei Ragil Behen, Ubish Motehem, so that he will know them, be familiar with them, and he'll have some knowledge of them. Kiha, we have a story that helps us with this. Da'u Bar Marov, this person from Eretz Yisrael, Ikla de Bavel, he came to Bavel, Ava Bisra Behadei, he had meat with him, so he basically was going to eat fleshiks. Amar Luhu, Krivuli Matkilta, said, give me some sort of liftan, some sort of accompaniment, appetizer, something to go along with this meat that he was going to eat. I mean, they didn't know he had meat to go along with it. Shama de Kamre, Krivuli Kutach. He's heard them say to them, ah, give him some of that Kutach stuff. Came to Shma Kutach, Perash. So as soon as he heard that it was a Perish, as soon as he heard that it was Kutach, he knew that Kutach had milk in it, and it was milchik, so he knew not to eat it. But his familiarity with Kutach was from the Mishnah. He didn't know that he wasn't from Bavel, but the familiarity of the Mishnah helped him to know that Kutach was Chlavi, that it was Milchik. And so that's why the Mishnah has them enumerated. Now Tosafot says, what do you mean, why do you have them enumerated? We need them enumerated to tell us what type of Dagan is problematic. We need to know that it's Chametz Ayadei Tarovet, Chametz Nuksha. Those are the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So why do you need them enumerated to teach us that? Because without that, we wouldn't know what kol minei dagan means. Anything with gan in it. It's not anything. It's these particular items. One is chametz ayadei tarovet, which are the first couple of examples in the Mishnah. And then we had chametz nuksha, which is the last three. The umanut examples were items that were chametz nuksha. So if Teret 3, that's what says, the havelei l'yishan elitrei minayu. He only had to teach us two of them. Chado nuksha be'inei v'chad yadei tarovet. You just need one example of Chametz Yedei Tarovet and one example of Chametz Nukshan that would have been sufficient. So now the question of the Gemara is not why do you have examples. We need some of these examples. We need at least two. But then why do we have the other items that we had four countries, three professions? We had seven items mentioned in the Mishnah when it would suffice to have two in the Mishnah. So those extra five, why are they there? That's to give people familiarity with these items so they would know or they'd be knowledgeable and know that these things were either Chametz, these are Chalavi, all the parts, component parts of these items so that they had a sense of what they were, both from the sense of an example, but also from if they came into contact with them, they'd know what they were. Okay, Mantanma, who's the author of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says, Ha'eilu be'azhara. The items that are enumerated in our Mishnah have an Iser Lav associated with them. That means that the person who is the author of our Mishnah begins, believes, number one, the Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayitarovet, that means that he believes that two items that are mentioned in our Mishnah are both be'isur and have an isur lav associated with them. One is chametz ayadei tarovet, which are the items in the beginning of the Mishnah. It's chametz ayadei tarovet. Those are items like the chometz adomi, which is the wine that had the barley put into it, and the barley causes the fermentation or causes it to turn into vinegar. You have the kutach habavli, which has bread mixed into the dip itself, real bread mixed into the dip, which have items that are mixed into it. So that's chametz ayadei tarovet. Then you have the case, the latter half of the Mishnah, that enumerated cases like kolan shel sofrim, the glue, the amilan shel tbachim, the odo that they put around the top of the pot. Those are items that are called chametz nuksha. They are items that are not really edible. They are ra'uy l'achilat kelev, as Fred pointed out yesterday, but they're still only not ra'uy l'achilat for a human being. And so, therefore, they're called what we call chametz nuksha. And so now our Mishnah gives both examples of chametz ayadei tarovet and chametz nuksha, and then it concludes the Mishnah with saying, ha'reilu elu b'azhara, that all of these items have an Isur Lav associated with them. So, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, so our first suggestion as to who the author of the Mishnah is comes from Yehuda Marav, Rabbi Meir he. Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, the Tanya. We have a Braita. Now, what's going to turn out, and this is the problem in identifying who the author of the Mishnah is, that we know that there are Tanaim who say that Chametz Ayadei Tarovet has an Isur Lav associated with it. We also know that there are Tanaim that think that Chametz Nuksha has an Isur Lav associated with it. What we don't have is a single Tana that says both. That says both that Chametz Adei Tarovet and Chametz Nuksha is Be'isur Lav. So the Amoraim here, when searching for a Tana, have to extrapolate from one to the other. And that's why it's not so easy, why the Gemara is having a little difficulty in finding the author of the Mishnah. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says it's Rabbi Meir, Titania. Seur Yisreif. Seur has to be burnt. Vinot no the kalbo. And he can give it to his dog. V'chlo Arbaim. And whoever eats it gets Arbaim. Arbaim is Malkot. He'll get, he's violating Yisra Lav, he'll get Malkot. The Gemara goes, Hagufa Kasha. This Braita is hard to understand. It's internally inconsistent. Amart, you said Seor Yisreif. That if it has the Seor, you have to burn it. Alma Asur Ba'ana. If you have to burn it, that means it's Asur Ba'ana. V'hadur Tani, the next line in the Braita is, V'not no, Lifnei Kalbo. You can give it to your dog, which means that it is Alma Mutur Ba'ana. That it is okay to get Hana from it. So how do you reconcile those two? Gemara says, Hachik Amar, this is how you have to read the Braita. Seor Yisreif. If you have Seor, if you have something that has reached the point of leavening, or beginning to leaven, it's not nitchametz kol tzorcho, it's not fully leavened, it hasn't reached the point where it's completely bred, but it's showing signs of chimutz, showing signs of leavening, and that's called this siur. So that's a machloket later on in the Masech, that's a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, as to what are the identifying characteristics of seeing something that is chametz. So Rabbi Meir says that it's shkeh, Sifu panav, if the bread is starting to turn, has a pale color to it, taking on a whiter complexion to it, that's already a sign of chimutz. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that you have to have karnei chagavim, you have to have the antennae of the locust grasshoppers, but basically you have to see cracking that goes out in different directions like the antennae that are indications of the chimutz there. So Rabbi Yehuda has a later stage or threshold for something to be considered Seor. Rabbi Meir says as soon as it has that whitish complexion color to it, then it's already Chametz. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that's fine matzah. That's totally matzah that you can use without any problem. Rabbi Yehuda has a threshold that's further along, which is that it has to start showing cracking and kekarnei chagavim in order to be Chametz. So that's what the Gemara now says. Seor Yisareif. When is Seor Nisraf? The Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, the Shitato, will say that when it reaches that point that I think it's Chametz, which is Ichsifu Panav, then you burn it. The Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Shitato, will say that when it has Karnei Chagavim, that's when you have to be Sorefit, and that's Rabbi Yehuda, the Shitato. Vidnot no liflei kalbo, the statement here that you can give it to your dog and you can get Hana from it, the Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Meir's position in the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda sees Rabbi Meir's position as being completely matzah. He doesn't see any problem with it. When Rabbi Meir says, that's chametz, Rabbi Yehuda looks at it and says, that's not chametz, that's pure matzah, that's totally fine. And therefore you're entitled to get hana from it. The truth is, you should be mutar to eat it as well. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir's siman of chametz is not really a siman of chametz. So it should be mutar b'achila and mutar b'hana'ah. Yet the Breit only suggests that it's mutar b'hana'ah. Tosafot asks this question and says, "Eino chanami mida oraita." You're right. It's mutar b'achila, mutar b'hana'ah. Mida rabbanan, we don't let you eat it. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, mida rabbanan, we don't let you eat it. So therefore, it's only mutar b'hana'ah. Then, v'ochlo b'arba'im, that if one who eats it gets malkot arba'im, who is that? Atan the Rabbi Meir. That is Rabbi Meir's shita. So shma'inan lay the Rabbi Meir. Now we understand from Rabbi Meir. Nuksha be'enei belav, that if you have chametz nuksha, that is a pure form of chametz nuksha, that it's present and you can see it, feel it, touch it, chametz nuksha be'enei, you get a lav. That's called seor. Seor is a case of chametz nuksha. We're not talking about tarova, we're not talking about a mixture, we're talking about dough. And the question is, has the dough begun to reach a form of leavening? So that threshold for Rabbi Meir is if the coloring starts to change or it turns pale. So for Rabbi Meir, that's already chametz nuksha, because seor, or seor, is something that is not edible. It's something that's used to leaven other items. It's the equivalent of yeast or sourdough that allows you to leaven other items, but it itself is no longer edible. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion there, that that's chametz nuksha, and he says at the end of the Mishnah that, ha'ochlo, if you eat it, you get arbaim, then you're in violation of allowing you to get malkot. So now we hear from Rabbi Meir that chametz nuksha be'enei gets malkot. Similar to our Mishnah. What we don't have from Rabbi Meir is Chametz Ayidei Tarovet that gets a lav. So that's the statement of Yehuda says, V'chol shekein chametz dagan gamur al yedei tarovet. Chametz gamur, that's mixed in with something else, according to Yehuda, is more chamur, is more stringent. So if Rabbi Meir believes that Seur is going to get malkot, then certainly he will think that chametz al yedei tarovet, chametz gamur al yedei tarovet will get malkot. And therefore Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, according to Yehuda Amarav. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, Rabbi Eliezer he. The author of our Mishnah is actually Rabbi Eliezer. Titanyo. A chametz dagan gamur anush karet. That for chametz, pure chametz, you get karet. If you want to eat it, not only in the violation of a lav, but the punishment that comes along with that is an isur that involves anush karet. Ale ruvo. If you have it with something that's mixed in, I mean, this is chametz gamur ayudei tarovet. So chametz gamur ayudei tarovet, the punishment is a lav. You get malkot. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. This is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. So now, Chamim Omrim, Al Chametz Dagan Gamur Anush Karet, we agree with you with regards to pure Chametz, that's an Easter Karet, but Al Ruvo, when it comes to a mixture, below Klum, you get nothing. There is no punishment at all for Chametz Ayidei Terovet according to the Chachamim. So again, Shamin and later Rabbi Eliezer, from this bright of Rabbi Eliezer, we understand, Amar Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Terovet Belav. So we see Chametz Ayidei Terovet for Rabbi Eliezer is considered to be a problem and an Isur Lav. So he gets Malkot, just like our Mishnah. Chametz Dagan Ayidei Terovet will get a Lav. But what about Chametz Nuksha? That's what he says here. V'chol shekein Nuksha Be'inei. And certainly Nuksha Be'inei. So Rav Nachman believes that Nuksha, Chametz Nuksha is more Chamur because it's in its pure form. Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Terovet, that's a diluted form of Chametz. So if the Rabbi Eliezer says you get Malkot, then certainly by Chametz Nuksha Be'inei you get Malkot. So there you see, each one of them found a Tana that has one of the two positions of our Mishnah, and then they believe that that Tana, because he has this position, will also have the other position, because the other position is more Chamur. So the Gemara asks, okay, for Rav Nachman, my time of the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't Rav Nachman subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's position? So I'm like, Dilma Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir Hatam. That Rabbi Meir over there only says his opinion on Nuksha Be'enei. That's Chametz Nuksha. But when you're talking about a Terovet, maybe not. That's because we know from the latter case here that Rav Nachman believes that Chametz Nuksha is more Chamur. So if he believes Chametz Nuksha is more Chamur, then he can't extrapolate in Rabbi Meir's position. If Rabbi Meir's position is that Chametz Nuksha gets Malkot, maybe that's it. Chametz Nuksha gets it, not Chametz Dagamur Ayudei Terovet. For Rabbi Yehuda, my time alone, Rabbi Nachman, and why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to Rabbi Nachman's position? I'm like, Adkan lo kamar Rabbi Eliezer hatam el chametz dagan gamur ayudei tarovet. Bless his opinions about chametz ayudei tarovet. That's where he says you get malkot. And remember, in Rabbi Yehuda's position, Rabbi Meir, he believes, well, if he says it by chametz gamur ayudei tarovet, then by chametz nuksa, then certainly he'll say by chametz dagan gamur ayudei tarovet. So he thinks the chametz Gamur Ayidei Terovet is more chamur. So if Nuksha Be'inei, lo Amar, maybe he doesn't say it. So each one of them, their opinion of which Tana they pick has to do with the hierarchy and what they see in Chametz. Rav Yehuda sees that Chametz Nuksha is a lighter form of Chametz. Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Terovet is a higher form of Chametz. And that's because it involves Chametz Gamur. It might be mixed, but it involves Chametz Gamur. So that's more chamur. So that forms the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, whose opinion is said by Nuksha, and we can extrapolate from that by a Kal v'chomer to Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Tarovet. And he can't learn from Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer only says it by Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Tarovet. And that is the more chamur aspect. So then to extrapolate that to Nuksha won't work for Rabbi Yehuda. And the other way around for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman thinks the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer because he believes that Chametz Nuksha is more Chamur. And therefore, if Rabbi Lezer says his opinion by Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Tarovet, then certainly he'll say by Chametz Nuksha. Whereas, he can't say Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Meir says it by Chametz Nuksha. And for him, that's more Chamur, so I cannot extrapolate from that to Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Tarovet. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Yehuda. We have a Braita that supports the position of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Because the Pasuk says, Kol machmetzet lo tochelu. One may not eat any machmetzet. Lerabot kutach habavli, shechar hamadi, v'chometz edomi, v'zeitum ha-mitzri. So that comes to include all these items that are mentioned in our Mishnah. But it's interesting. It doesn't have the full list of our Mishnah. It only has a partial list of our Mishnah. It only includes the items that are Mishnah that are classified as Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayadei Tarovet. He leaves out the remainder of the list, which is Chametz Nuksha. So what do you see from that? Yochohen Nosh Karet. You think you would get Karet for this Tarovet? Tamalomar Ki Kol Ochel Chametz V'Nechrita. Whoever eats Chametz gets Karet. Al Chametz Dagamur Anush Grey Vale Ruvo Belav. That only fits full-fledged Chametz Be'en. Do you get karet? But if it's a yedei tarovet, then it's only an iser lav. And the Gemara says, man shmaitle, who is the author of the position damar aliruvo belav? That says the chametz dagan gamur yedei tarovet gets malkot. That is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer he. Ve'ilu nuksha be'enei lo kamar. But what's absent from this braita is chametz nuksha. Shmamina nuksha the Rabbi Eliezer leitle. And then you can see that Rabbi Eliezer thinks that only Tarovet gets Malkot, but Chametz Nuksha does not get Malkot, because if it did get Malkot, then he should have continued the list of the Mishnah. In this Braita, it should include all the other items in the Mishnah, not just Tarovet, but also the items that are Chametz Nuksha. So now the Gemara says, Vi Rabbi Eliezer, Eruvo Belav Minole. Where does he know that we have this Isur Lav by Chametz Dagan Gamur Ayidei Tarovet? The dichtiv, because the pot says, Ko machmetzet lo tochelu. No machmetzet may you eat. Ihochi, if that's the case, karet nami lechayev. If he can't eat the chametz ayde tarovet, because it's machmetzet, then he should also get karet for it. Taktiv, ki kol ochel machmetzet benechreta. The pasuk says, anyone who has machmetzet gets karet. So Gemara says, how mi baile? That we need for the Ketanya. Because we have a braita. Now, it's interesting here. The braita that we have here says, Ein li alosh nit chametz me'elav. I only know something that became chametz by itself. Machmat davar acher minayin. Because it became chametz through an exogenous variable, this we saw back on Daf Chav Chet Amud Bet, and there Tosafot says, the fact that it became chametz from an outside variable, it's not talking about se'or. It's not talking about yeast. It's not talking about sourdough. Seor is clear if that caused the acceleration of the leavening process here. Clear that that's chametz. The Torah explicitly says that. We're talking about items that cause fermentation or cause leavening of the bread, but they themselves are not seor. There, Tosafot mentions the example of sediments of wine that do that. So how do I know that not only if something is chametz in of itself and because of itself, but because there was an accelerator put in there that helped it to ferment or rise or leaven, how do I know that's also problematic? Tamalomar. Now, the way we have it in our Gemara here is Kol Machmetzev Nechrita, which is the pasuk that we just brought before, which is called Kikol Chel Machmetzev Nechrita. Problem is that the Gemara back at Daf Chamchenim with Bet brings the other pasuk of Kol Machmetzev Lo Tochelu as the source for here. That very may be the case. So here, that's Kikol Machmetzev Lo Tochelu. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Yochi, Tav Nami Lohachi Hu Da'ato. Why don't we say the same thing by the Lav? If you can say that by the case of Karet, where it says, Kikol Ochel Machmetzet V'Nichrata Nefeshahi, why did I need Kikol Ochel Machmetzet over there to teach me that not only is it something that is Chametz itself, but something that has another variable that made it into Chametz, that's also problematic. So that's by the Chiyuv Karet. But let's say the same thing here. I call Machmetzet Otochelu, which is a lav, say the same thing. It's not coming to teach you about Chametz Adei Tarovet, it's coming to teach you about something that became Chametz by an external variable or something else besides the bread itself that caused it to rise or leaven. So if that's the case, I don't have a proof anymore. I don't have a source for Rabbi Eliezer's lav by Chametz Adei Tarovet. At the time of Rabbi Eliezer, must be the reason behind Rabbi Eliezer's position is Mikol. So because it says Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelu. So the word Kol is a ribui, and that comes to include even Chametz Adei Tarovet. Where it says Hatam Namik Tiv Kol, by the din of Karet, it also says Kol. Right, it says ki kol ochel machmetzet v'nechreta nefesh ahi. Where it says how mi baile the rabotet the nashim. We need that to be merabed the women. Nashim, you have to include women. Why would you think women are not chayavot in the mitzvah of chametz? Midrav Yehuda merav nafka. We have an explicit limud. The Gemara in Kiddushin discusses this as well, which is that when it comes to women in isurim and unshim. The Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, Chayin Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Ish, O Isha, Ki Asu Mikol Chatot Adam, that whenever they do something that is a transgression, iniquity, Hishva Katuv Ish Li Isha. The Pasuk here puts in one swap, one painting here it puts Ish V'Isha, and it's therefore Ish V'Isha are Hishva Katuv Lehem L'Cholon Shim Shebetorah. For any punishment in the Torah, there's going to be no differentiation between men and women. So if that's the case over here, why do I need kol? Why do I need a ribui for nashim to tell me that the women are going to be punishable for the eating of chametz with a chiyuv karet, or that there's a restriction? Of course there is a restriction. They're obligated in all mitzvot lo tasei, number one, except for the one or two exceptions that are there in the Mishnah and Kiddushin. And they also get a same punishment as a man would get. There's no reason to have a woman be exempt from this isur that you would need pasuk to come include her. Where it says, itzrech, no, in this case we need it, zalka dat choamina. I would have thought an amazing havamina here. Hoyo biktiv, because the pasuk says, lo tochal alav chametz. You may not eat chametz. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot. For 7 days you must eat matzah. So now the Gemara says, kol sheyeshno bekum achol matzah. Whoever is obligated in eating matzah, yeshno b'bal tochal chametz, is therefore obligated in the restriction of desisting from eating chametz. V'hanei nashe, and these women, ho v'letnu b'kol machal matzah, since they do not have a mitzvah to eat matzah, t'tavya lei mitzvah aseh shor hazman garma. Matzah is a mitzvah aseh shor hazman garma. Since it's a mitzvah aseh shor hazman garma, they would not be chayavot in matzah. So since they're not chayavot in matzah, I would think, because of the hekesh between matzah and chametz, that would mean that just like they're not obligated in the eating of matzah, they're also not obligated in the desisting from the eating or consuming of chametz. So ema, so there I would say, they don't have the Easter of chametz, kamash malan, that that's not the case. So in the word kol, we know that women are included. So now that's an interesting havamina. As Tosfot says, why would you ever have a havamina like this? There's so many reasons not to have a havamina like this. He says, Tema the Ri, Hecha Saka Dachla Midrash Hachi, Adraba, just the opposite, Ipcho Yeshli Drosh, to the Chumra Makshinan. Just without even knowing any information, you would try to reverse this because we'd always go to Chumra. If you have a Hekesh, so you have two ways to go here. You have one way to go is to say, well, if they're Chayavot in Chametz, then they're also Chayavot in Matzah. Or you could say, because they're Patur in Matzah, they're also Patur in Chametz. So your one choice is to be the Kula and one choice to be the Chumra. All of a sudden you decide that we're going to be the Kula and not the Chumra. It doesn't make sense. Why would you ever have such an opinion? So the Ri says, very interesting. He says, Salka Datcho, you would have thought, to Urche de Kra, the normal structure of a Pasuk is, the Seifa Mefarish the Reisha. The latter half of the Pasuk explains or enlightens us to the first half of the Pasuk. So in this case, it's Lo Tochal Alav Chametz, Shivat Yamim Tochal Alav Matzot. So the Matzot is coming to explain to us about the Isur Chametz in the beginning of the Pasuk. And that's why we rely on the Matzah as being the key component in the Pasuk and the key component of the Hekesh, because that's found in the latter half of the Pasuk. And the Ri says that's the standard format of a pasuk in the Torah, is that the latter half of the pasuk is explaining the first half of the pasuk. The other reason he brings, oh, yesh lomar, ta'ach yesh lidrosh yoter hetel nashim mishum gzera shava de tetvav. We have a gzera shava of tetvav, which is on the 15th of the month, Pesach starts on the 15th of the month, Sukkot starts on the 15th of the month, therefore we have a hekesh between them. And just like we know that they're peturot for the mitzvah of Sukkah, women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah. So I would have thought from that Hekesh of 15 to 15, just like they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Sukkah, so too they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Chametz or Matzah over here. So there, Tosfot gives you two reasons why you might have a possibility of having such a Havamina that women would be Turot from Matzah and therefore Turot from Chametz, despite the fact that it seems to be going against what the normal logic would dictate. Tosafot leaves a very interesting question over here. He says that the Pasuk in Devarim, when it talks about tzitzit, has them correlated. There's a hekesh there to kilayim. And he says, based on that, yekshmashim, lama nashim ein chayavot b'tzitzit. Why aren't women obligated in tzitzit? Mishum dekosh yeshno b'levishat shaneis, yeshno b'gdilim. If a person's obligated in a lotasei of shaneis, where there's a hekesh to tzitzit, they should be obligated in tzitzit. And that's exactly what the Gemara in Erachin says. Maran Erchin talks about the Kohanim, that you would possibly think that Kohanim are exempt from tzitzit because of this hekesh, because they wear kilayim in the big day kuna. So you would think someone who wears kilayim doesn't wear tzitzit because of that hekesh, that correlation, implying that if you are obligated in the mitzvah lo taseh av kilayim, then you are obligated to put on tzitzit. And because of that, women should be obligated in putting on tzitzit. And over here, the reasoning of the reed, that the latter half of the pasuk is what's governing over here. That means that they're pterot from tzitzit, they should be pterot from kilayim. And they shouldn't have any problem with kilayim, and we know that's not true. Tosfos leaves it as a tzarach iyun. He has no answer. He doesn't bring an answer over here to that question, that either the women should be chayavot in tzitzit, or pterot mi kilayim. Be one of the two. And he leaves that unresolved over here based on the havamina of our Gemara with regards to chametz and matzah. So now, vahashto, did rabo lehu b'baltu chal chametz. Now, once we've established that women are chayavot in chametz, how do we know they're chayavot in chametz? That is because of Amar Yehuda Marav. Amar Yehuda Marav tells us that they are muzarot in chametz. V'akatuv l'chol onshin shibetorah, because the Torah tells us that women are equal to men when it comes to any isur in the Torah. So once we have that information, now once we have guidance as to what their status is with regards to chametz, and we also learned over here that mikol ochel chametz, that the kol is a riboy, that we are chayavot in machmetzet. So once I have those two tells, she is chayavot in chametz, then I'll drive the hekesh in the other direction, which says that if she's obligated in desisting from eating chametz, then she will also be chayevet in eating of matzah. And that's what we said now, which is, Rabbi Nam Lechilat Matzah, she's included now, she must eat matzah, even though it's a mitzvah to say she's man grama, women are still chayevot in the eating of matzah, ki Rabbi Elazar. Damar Rabbi Elazar, nashim chayevot v'achilat matzah dvar Torah. Women chayevot min Torah to eat matzah, despite the fact that it is mitzvah to say she's man grama. Shneamar, lo tochal alav chametz. Whoever has the restriction of consuming chametz has an obligation to eat matzah. These women, nami, since they're obligated in not eating chametz, therefore they're obligated to eat matzah. And that is the din, that women are chayavot in the mitzvah matzah. When there's an obligation for the man, which is on the first night of Pesach, so too, there is an obligation for the woman to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach. It's an interesting question is, for instance, like the Gra and some of the other Rishonim will believe that there is either a mitzvah kiyumit or an obligation for the remaining 6 days of Pesach to eat matzah. Would that also apply to the women? Is that mitzvah kiyumit that applies to a man or the obligation on the other 6 days that applies to men? It's not, obviously not the same as the obligation the first time. It would seemingly be that the woman would also have that same mitzvah kiyumit because she's connected to the Baal Tuchal Chametz. She should also be obligated in the kum achol matzah, even if you suggest that it's a mitzvah kiyumit and not an obligatory mitzvah. So I just think that you would have to extend it in that direction. The other interesting thing from this is, with regards to the Seder night on Pesach, on the Seder night of Pesach, are women chayavot and haggadah. So that is not so clear as to whether women are obligated in the mitzvah of haggadah, because it is a mitzvah to say shazman grama. And we don't have any guiding principle that would tell us that she is chayavet because of some hekesh, some limud. So over here, on the night of Pesach, we do have the din of matzah. She is obligated in eating matzah. And if that's the case, there are some who want to suggest that she'd be obligated in haggadah as well because of the limud that we had before, which is, what is lechem oni? Lechem shonim alav dvarim harbei. Is the bread upon which we say many things. And since the lechem shonim alav devarim harbei means that you say the haggadah on the matzah, part of the matzah or part of the eating the matzah of the night, it's not sufficient to eat matzah that night. You need to have matzah that has haggadah said about it. It has to be part of the night, the experiential part of the night, the demonstrative part of the night, that the matzah is part of the story and the haggadah, and then you eat it. So for that reason, if you believe women are chayavot in matzah, they might also be obligated in haggadah because they need the haggadah to enhance the mitzvah of matzah or to complete the mitzvah of matzah. And that's the idea that we say at the end of the haggadah, which is called shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu on the night of Pesach lo yetzah yedei chovato. Because it's not enough to eat the matzah. You have to eat the matzah in the context of what is said about it. So at minimum, the women would be chayavot in those three things. At least to get Haggadah, but that might affect their mitzvah of matzah as well and obligate them in Haggadah because of matzah. So even if you don't think that they're obligated in Haggadah because of Haggadah qua Haggadah, still maybe chayavot in Haggadah because of matzah. You have 2 points in the pasuk. One is don't eat chametz, one is eat matzah. So if I'm left in a position of uncertainty, which as I don't know which one is the governing principle in the pasuk, then the Ri says that I'll go after the normal style of the Torah, the normal way that the Torah presents information. But as soon as I get information about one of those two limudim, then I know what to do. If I'm uncertain and I don't have any information, then I got to work with other principles. Whether it's the principle that the latter of the pasuk governs, whether it's a principle we go the chumrah and not the kula, whatever the principles or the guiding principles are. But as soon as I have information about one of those two factors, then I don't need to use those governing principles anymore. If I know that chametz is a surah for the woman, or I know she's not obligated, or obligated in matzah, one of the two, then I can now have information about the other side. And that's what happens in the end. I get pieces of information. What piece of information I get? That she's chayevet. Once I know that piece of information, then I know which direction the hekesh is going now. Because there's only one direction the hekesh can go now, is that chametz is going to be a surah. Once you say that, then matzah must be an obligation as well. So when you don't have any information, then you rely on these other principles. Once we have information, then we know exactly what the hekesh is going to look like. It's going to look like the fact that chametz is asura and matzah is chayevet. All right, the last thing to discuss over here, which is something that I've mentioned before, I know that Rosenzweig also spends a lot of time on this and explaining that matzah is really what he calls the anti-chametz. That eating matzah is not simply the eating of matzah, but it's also has to be something that is the non-eating of chametz. And therefore, some of the principles that we said before, and this is why I mentioned it before, which is that if something can become chametz, then it can become matzah. If something has no potential to be chametz, then it cannot be matzah. And that is because matzah is not simply matzah, but matzah is not chametz. And so therefore, it had to have the potential to become chametz, and you had to then stop that. You had to end the process of chametz and make into matzah as if the matzah is that anti-chametz. And there are achronim that say it or stipulate it in this way, that when a person eats matzah, he's mekayim the mitzvah of lo tochal chametz. That's how interrelated they are, or how connected they are, that when you eat matzah, you're mekayim the mitzvah of not eating chametz. I mean, it's part and parcel of the same mitzvah. To eat matzah means that you're not eating chametz. And you're demonstrating through the eating of the matzah that you will not eat chametz. And that we've seen a lot through the Gemara and Pesachim about this correlation between chametz and matzah. And again, therefore, a woman who cannot eat chametz, by definition, must be obligated in eating matzah. Because the two are correlated. You can't separate between the two. You can't have her be chayevet in not eating chametz and not obligated in eating matzah. The two are a package deal and they come together. And in the words of those achronim, it's as if you eat matzah, you're mekayim the mitzvah lo tochal chametz, and therefore if she's obligated not eating chametz, then certainly she must eat matzah. All right, now the Gemara says, Omay chazit, dahai kol, dirubuei nashim. Why did you choose to include women from this word kol? Umafket iruvon. And you didn't include tarovet, meaning you didn't include tarovet by the din of karet. Now, there is a slight problem with this. We're going to see in 1 second. The Gemara is going to tell us why they don't do this. But the Gemara actually doesn't note that there are actually 3 psukim here, and that there's a pasuk that we've quoted so far, which is kol machmetzet lo tochelu, which is the lav or the lota say that we say the kol there comes to teach you about a roof that taroid is chayav in a lav. We have the pasuk ki kol ochel machmetzet v'nechreta hanefesh ha'im adat yitzel b'ger azarach aret. So there we said that the kol comes to rabot nashim to the isra chametz. There's an additional kol that's found in these psukim, which is earlier on pasuk tet vav. So again, there's kol ochel chametz. So you actually have 2 words kol over here. The Gemara says, I have kol, I have to decide. Do I include women or do I include tarovet? But the truth is, you have the word kol appear twice by karet. And you can have one pasuk that includes the tarovet and one pasuk that includes the women. So why we don't do that is very strange. The Gemara doesn't mention it. Tosavot, who notes it, gives an interesting answer. He says that Tema the Ri, Hatrei Kikol Ktive Gabi Karet, Kikol Chametz Benechuta, and Kikol Ochel Machmetzet, the 2 psukim that I just mentioned to you. So then he says, you could be Darshan, even according to the Chachamim that don't Darshan Kol. We'll see in a second, they Darshan Kikol. Everybody should think it's a problem. But Omer Ri, listen to his answer. Dipshitale the Gemara de Atal Shum Drosha. The Gemara knew that they had to use it for some other Drosha. What's that Drosha? We don't know. But they had to use it for some other Drosha. Tosafot says that it's such an obvious question that why the Gemara ignores the fact that there are 2 psukim that say kol, it means that the Gemara knew for certain that that pasuk was not available. that it was used for some other drusha, and there's not even a havamina to use that pasuk at all. And Tosfos is just inferring that from the fact that the Gemara is mum, silent on this other pasuk. Doesn't even mention it, doesn't even consider it. So it must have been that the Gemara knew that that was used, or was not even in the realm of possibility of using it for the Isur. But now the Gemara wants to know, with the one pasuk that we are darshing, that kol, how do you know to use it for women and not to use it for tarovet? So the Gemara says, Mistavra kai b'uchlin, this is what Josh just said. It makes sense that if the pasuk is talking about uchlim, it's talking about the gavra, merabe uchlim. It's going to include another gavra, because it says, ki kol ochel machmetzet, so kol ochel, that's talking about the individual who's eating or consuming the chametz. So if you're talking about the individual who's the subject of the pasuk, then when you say kol, when you come into merabe something, you're going to include another individual. If you're talking about the people who are consuming the chametz, you're going to talk about the chametz itself, that which is being consumed. That doesn't make sense. I says, yeah, really? Matkif le'rav nata barvud ravuna. V'ho checha dekai bochlim lo merabe ne'achalim. That's really a principle. Anytime you're talking about an individual, we don't include the chepta. When you're talking about the gavra, you don't include the chepta. Vatanyo, I'll bring you a pasuk. Ki kol ochel chelev mebehema asher yakriv. Anybody who eats from the chelev of a hema that is put on the mizbeach. In the other chelev tmimim. The fact that it's going on the mizbeach, asher yakriv, indicates that it's a tamim. That it's something without blemish in it, because it's ra'oi le mizbeach. Sheroi like kariv, so it's ra'oi to go on the mizbeach. Chelev balimimim minayin. How do I know that the chelev, the fats of someone, an animal that has a blemish that can't go on the mizbech is also problematic? Tamalomar min ha-behema. That means, min ha-behema means any behema, so that is riboy. Then chelev chulin minayin. How do I know that even an animal that's not kodesh, that also has a problem of chelev? Tamalomar ki kol. Kol is a riboy. V'ha-hocha dekai bochlim. Here it's clearly talking about the gavra ki kol ochel chelev. You're talking about the individual eating the chelev. And now it expands the chelev that's included here. Not only is it chelev kodashim, it's also chelev chulin from that limud. So you see, we do that. We do take something that's talking about a gavra and use it for a chefza. Gemara says, no. Hatam deleka ochlim, rabbe nechalim. Over there where I have no other option. I don't have any other gavra to include. Women are already included because it's a isur, and we know what kol yisurim shebetorah that we're included. So if that case, I expand it to merabeh nechalin. Then I include other food items, meaning other fats, which are the fats of chulin. Hocha deika ochlin. Over here where you have another option of the gavra, because nashim, you have a havamina to say they shouldn't be included. Lo shavik lud ochlin merabeh nechalin. If I have a choice of including a gavra versus including a cheftza, I'm going to opt for the gavra. Now, Josh, that goes back to your question, which is, therefore, if you have two psukim that say kol ochel, both talking about gavra, then the one gavra pasuk is talking about the gavra. The other gavra pasuk is not necessarily use that for a chepta like we saw by chelev. You're asking why does the Torah formulate it as dealing with a korban? The Torah does that, I mean, just as a sidebar, it has nothing to do with what we're learning today. But it's clear in Vayikra that the Torah has a restriction against drinking blood or eating blood and eating chelev. And the correlation between that and what goes on the Mizbeach. In a Korban, what goes on the Mizbeach, what's given to Hashem, is the Chelev and the Dam. And so when you go to the Beimat Chulin, the things that are restricted are the Chelev and the Dam. So the reason it's formulated or it's expressed as being from a Beimat that goes on the Mizbeach, because that's basically the reason why it's Asur. The reason it's Asur is because it really belongs to Hashem. So now when you opt to have a Beimat Chulin, you don't give it to Hashem, the Kodashim, those items remain the Surim, somewhat as a recognition of the Beimat Kodshim, that it really belongs to Hashem. Now, obviously, Torah tells you that Dam has a Nefesh, by Chilev, that goes on the Mizbeach. But both of them are the gifts to Hashem. The formulation in Sefer Yikra is in the context of Kodoshim. Okay, now the Gemara says, V'rabbanan delet luhu eruv. The Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Eliezer and say that there is no Chametz Eidei Torovet, you get lo klom, you don't get any punishment for it. Ki kol lo darshe. They must not darshan the word kol. Now, Tosfos points out, it's not that they don't darshan it in kol haTorah kula. Just over here, they don't darshan it, because here it's not so logical. They only darshan kol when it's an illogical extension. When it's not a logical extension, they don't darshan it. Tarovet is not necessarily a logical extension of chametz gamur. It's a mixture now. So if it's a mixture, that's not chametz. So therefore, I'm not going to extend it. It's the word kol, they're not darshaning over here. Ela nashim in alahu. If they don't darshan the word kol, then how do they get women to be included? We just said before that the women are included from the kol. Fine. They don't hold tarovet, chametz, gemur, ayudei, tarovet. But what about women? How are they going to include the women? The Gemara says, kol lo darshe, ki kol darshe. They're not doresh kol, which is kol machmetzet lo tochelu, but they are doresh is ki kol ochel machmetzet. So over there you have ki kol. So ki kol, they will be doresh. Rabbi Elezer. So now, if that's the case, let's think about Rabbi Elezer. Let Rabbi say, Zareim kol, the rabotet the nashim. The word kol comes to include the women. Ki kol, the rabotet de ruvo. Ki kol will include tarovet. And now you have a chiyuv karet by tarovet. The Gemara says, v'chitei me ki kol, Rabbi Elezer lo dorish. If you want to suggest that Rabbi Elezer doesn't darshan ki kol, well, I have an example where he does do it. V'atanya. Seor bal taktiru. You're not allowed to put seor on the mizbeach. It's not allowed to be chametz on the mizbeach. Ein le'elo kulo. You're not allowed to put on the whole thing. Mixato minayin, a portion of it. How do I know? Tamalo mar kol. That's the word kol. Eruvo minayin. How do I know that a mixture is also problematic? Tamalo mar ki kol. So they have also the ki kol. Man shmaile the darish kol. Who's the Tano who darshan's kol? We just saw here the Rabbanan are certainly not darbin darish kol. It's Rabbi Eliezer. Because darish ki kol. And that same pasuk, or in that same brayta, not only is he doresh kol, he's also doresh kikol. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer is doresh both kol and kikol. If that's the case, he should include tarovet to be a chiyuv karet. Mar says, kasha, that's a really good question. We don't have an answer for that. Right now, the Gemara is going to begin a new sugya. It's a new sugya that's going to go through the next daf entirely. It's a very important sugya, once again, a shas sugya, that has major implications in terms of isurim. We'll see in the beginning here, there's Machloket Rashi and the Ramban Rashi and Tosafot as to how to read or how to understand this. But it's a basic principle that we take for granted almost all the time because we just know that it's true. But here is the basis or the basics behind that principle that we know. And that is, Amar Rabbi Bo and Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Isurim Shebetorah. When it comes to any Isur in the Torah, Ein Heter Mitztaref LeIsur. The Heter that is there does not add up with the Isur. Chutz Misurei Nazir. The exception to that rule is the Isurei Nazir. Shrei Amra Torah. The Torah says Mishrat. Mishrat means that you take the bread and you soak it in the wine. And when the bread soaked in the wine, we say that you're chayav if you eat that bread with the wine soaked into it. Ziri Amar. I'm going to read a little more and then I'll come back and discuss this. Ziri Amar Af Seor Bal Taktiru. Seor Bal Taktiru is also included in this. Kiman. Ki Rabbi Eliezer the Dorish Kol. Rabbi Eliezer's Dorish Kol by Seor Bal Taktiru, he says, not only is it kulo, not only if it's by itself, but even a ruvo, even if it's mixed together, we still say that it's problematic. So, Iochi, if that's the case, they're gonna, he also includes the case of Seor because of the ribuy of kol, then by Pesach as well, you should say, because we have kol machmetzet lo tochelu, he also has a ribuy over there. Where it says, Inachanami, you're right. That he would include, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that heter mitzaref leisur is not only applicable by nazir, it's applicable by seor, it's also applicable by chametz al pesach. Ula afuke mida abaye, and that comes to exclude abaye's position. Damar yesh haktara lepachot mikazayit, that he thinks that there is haktara on the mizbeach less than a kazayit. Kamash v'lan, haktara lav pachot mikazayit. There is no haktara less than a kazayit by bal taktiru. So how do we get the isur? Because heter mitzaref leisur, heter comes together with the isur. The Gemara in the next daf is going to discuss another principle, which is tam ki ikar. And the real question is, what's the difference between tam ki ikar and heter mitzaref leisur? Let's start with tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar says that if you have something that is a flavor and it gives flavor over to an object, that object takes on the properties of the isur. And that's a principle that we know, that if you have something that's kosher, a kosher piece of meat, and then it gets flavored by something that is asur, nevela, or some non-kosher meat, that flavoring now changes it over so that it's ki'ikar, that you really have isur there. The fact that you've now flavored this piece of meat makes this piece of meat asur because of the flavoring imparted by tam ki'ikar. And so because of that, the object now becomes an object of isur because of tam ki'ikar. So the question now is, in the context of tam ki'ikar, what does heter mitzaref leisur do for you? I mean that as long as there's flavor there, then there's isur. If there's no flavor there, there's no isur. So that's why you'll see here, Rashi does one thing, and Tosafot seems to do it different. The Ramban seems to follow that sheet of Tosafot, which is Rashi, when explaining Ein Heter Mitztaref the Isur, and then he talks about Absor, about Taktiru, he says something very interesting. He says over here, Heter Mitztaref the Isur, Chatzi zayit komets disor, v'chatzi zayit de matzah ve'enan meuravim. They're not mixed together. You have a half zayit of seor and half zayit of chametz, and you put them together and they become a single kezayit over here. Kol echad nikar. Each one is independent of the other one. And Rashi says that heter mitzarev to isur works. And really, in that case, you have a half kezayit of heter, half kezayit of isur. You put them together. They get you your kezayit of haktara that you need. That's what we just said now. That we, as a fuke me abaye, to say that abaye is not right. Abaye believes in the Gemara Menachot that you can have haktara less than a kezayit. The answer is no, you can't have an haktara less than a kezayit because heter mitzarev to isur, and that gets you to the full kezayit that you need. So over here, Rashi has this opinion that when it comes to heter mitzarev to isur, they're actually two separate items. And that's because Rashi believes tam ki ikar. When you have tam ki ikar, it makes the item totally asur. It's katicha naset nevela. The meat or the piece of meat that has a flavor in it now becomes like as if it's actually isur. So if that's the case, heter mitzarev to isur is not going to add anything for me. It's not going to do anything for me because everything's asur already. It became a piece of isur meat now. So because of that, Rashi says that the heter mitzarev to isur is a case when I have heter and isur. Half of it's heter, half of it's isur, and they're independent and they're separate from each other. And they count together towards the shi'ur. You have the heter, you have the isur, and together they make up the shi'ur kezayit. And therefore, when the nazir dips his bread into the wine, there the flavor is imparted to a certain part of the bread. But it's not there in the entire piece of bread. And therefore, if that's the case, heter mitzarev to isur, the remaining bread will be mitzarev to become a part of the isur. And that's how Rashi learned heter mitzarev the isur being greater than tam ki ikar. And that tam ki ikar gets you that you have isur there, and that it's chatichat nasen devela. You have isur, actual isur there. But heter mitzarev the isur helps you get to the minimum shiur that you need. Kezayit by haktarat kometz on mizbeach. Kezayit in terms of achila for the nazir. The head term, it's tarif the Easter, allows you to include even the items to which it didn't reach. That pieces of bread that are outside of the area that the wine soaked up to. And those areas of heter now add together with the areas of isur, where the wine reached, tamki ikar, chaticha nasev nevela, that are completely asur, together with the areas that are heter in a total package, they allow you to reach the kezayit, the minimum threshold that you need to be chayav. So your total heter joining together with the isur, the wine that is absorbed in the other part that was tamki ikar and made it into chaticha naset nevela, they will get you to that full kezayit that you need. On the other hand, Tosafot disagrees. You can see Tosafot over here says, I don't understand what Rashi is talking about. Heter the tzarev the isur only applies be'eruv, when they're mixed together. When they're completely mixed together, not when they're independent. Heter mitzarev the isur is only when they're mixed together. If they're independent, then why can you say heter mitzarev the isur? Nobody's going to say that. The heter is separate, the isur is separate. Why is it heter mitzarev the isur? Heter, you have to have the isur somehow grabbing the heter. And the only way that can be is it's ayidei tarovet. So if that's the case, what's the difference between tam ki ikar and heter mitzarev the isur according to Tosafot or according to Ramban? That is because when we talk about tam ki ikar, over there, we're talking about the item has, there's no physical presence of the item. It's just tam. And because there's no physical presence of the item, then you have to eat a, what we call, a kezayit b'achilat pras. You have to have a kezayit of the imparted tam b'achilat pras in order to violate the isur. It has to be the isur itself. It has to be an area that has that tam in it, and that's what gets you to the level of isur. On the other hand, when it comes to heter mitzarev the isur, heter mitzarev the isur is when the item is physically present, like here, where the wine is inside of the bread. The wine is physically absorbed into the bread. That even if there's not enough isur here in the heter to eat it de'achid pras, nevertheless, the heter will join together with the isur to get you to that minimum shiur. So that minimum shiur is done through heter mitzarev the isur. So according to Tosafot, according to the Ramban, tam ki ikar is a principle in a eruv where the tam makes the item into the isur. But you still have to make, or you have to get to the minimum shiur to be chayav. And tam ki ikar doesn't help you with that. Tam ki ikar says that the isur that is present there because of the flavor, you have to get enough of that flavor, enough of that isur to reach the kezayit. But the bread that is there, that's heter. And that cannot be added to get up to the kezayit through tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar is exactly that. The flavor gives you isur, But from that flavor or that isur imparted by the tam, you have to reach a kezayit. But anything that is heter, it's absorbed into the bread. That bread that's there does not count towards that minimum shiur. So as long as the tam is not visible and not visibly present, it's only there because it's a flavor, then we don't apply heter mitzvah isur. We only apply tam ki ikar. And within the rules of tam ki ikar, the tam, the flavor itself, must reach that minimum threshold of a kezayit, and the heter that it's absorbed into does not contribute towards that level of a kezayit. On the other hand, heter mitzvah the isur comes in and adds to that, that if the isur is present, even though it's not imparting tam to this part of it, and even though it's the tam itself doesn't get you to the level of isur, the heter now will join with isur to get you to that minimum shiur. So over here, where you have the wine inside of the bread, you'd have to have a kezayit of the wine to get the kezayit b'dei achilat pras, to have tam ki ikar, and be in violation. What heter mitzvah isur says that the bread counts towards that kezayit as well. That would not come from tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar is not a din in isur naset nevel, or chatikha naset avela, according to them. It doesn't become like the whole thing is isur. No, there's the isur is the wine, and the bread is heter. So you have to have enough kezayit of that wine to be asur. Heter mitzvah the isur says I can also add the bread to that level. Heter mitzvah the isur says when the isur is visible, like the wine being absorbed into the bread, then not only do we imply the din of tam ki ikar that the flavor itself is asur, but then we have heter mitzvah the isur that the bread now is added towards the wine to get you to the minimum kezayit. Because the isur is visible over here, we can now apply also heter mitzvah the isur, and therefore the bread will also count towards the threshold of a kezayit to be asur. And that's the difference between tam ki ikar and heter mitzvah the isur. Tam ki ikar focuses on flavor, and heter mitzvah the isur focuses on visible isur that now takes along with it the heter that it is absorbed into. So that's the way Tosafot and the Ramban learn. On the other hand, Rashi learns that chatichat nasin nevela tam ki ikar makes it that the whole thing is asur already. The whole thing's asur already, then to say heter mitzvah the isur doesn't teach me anything, because it's already heter mitzvah the isur, because the heter becomes like the isur according to Rashi. So where do I have heter mitzvah the isur? Rashi says, when I have heter separate from the isur, and together they add together to get me the komets, a kezayit of komets, to get me a kezayit of the chametz, kezayit of the yayin, then I use heter mitzvah the isur, but that's when they're independent. The heter is independent of the isur. So that's the difference in opinion between Rashi and Tosafot, Rashi Ramban, which will play out over the next staff, but it really starts here in their understanding of the Gemara over here. Because when the Gemara says over here, Tanya Sobal Tafiru, Ainli Elo Kulo, that's only the full amount. Mikzato Minayin. How do I know that Mikzato also is the case? Rashi says over here, the case of Heter Mitzvah Yisur is when you have a half komets of chametz and half komets of matzah, or regular komets. And that's what Rashi says, Mikzato Minayin. Tamalomar Kol. So for Rashi, Mikzato minayin means a half kezayit of chametz, a half kezayit of heter, and together they get you your full kezayit to be chayav. And that is the source for the fact that there's heter mitzvah the isur by seor baal taktiru. As Tosafot will say that mikzato minayin does not mean less than a kezayit. The chametz is greater than a kezayit. Mikzato minayin means how do you know if you have a portion of the chametz which in itself is greater than a kezayit? That mikzato, that little piece, is more than a kezayit. How do I know that that's still problematic? Tamadomar ko. Then, the source for heter mitzvah v'isur is the next line in the Braita for Tosafot, which says that, eruvo minayin. How do I know that the mixture is also problematic? Then it says, ki ko. But eruvo is the source for heter mitzvah v'isur according to Tosafot. Because eruvo, that mixture, for Tosafot, that is the definition of heter mitzvah of the isur. As opposed to Rashi, who sees heter mitzvah of the isur being heter separate from the isur, Tosafot believes that heter mitzvah of the isur is a case where they're mi'urav. And therefore, the source from the right of a heter mitzvah of the isur is from the question of eruvo minayin, tamalomar ki kol, because Tosafot doesn't have what Rashi has. You can't put heter and isur together when the isur is not fully mixed together with the heter. And therefore, he learns this braita differently for that reason. Okay, we'll stop over here.